Candidates are interviewed for the Haynes manager position, and 34 pounds of medication was collected during the recent drug roundup. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Some of the Haynes Borough Assembly met Tuesday to interview four candidates for the borough manager position. The interviews took place via Skype at the Haynes Borough Library. Only three assembly members, Joanne Waterman, Deborah Schnabel, and George Campbell, and Mayor Stephanie Scott, were present for the interviews. Jerry Lapp and Diana Lapham are out of town, and Dave Barry did not attend. There was discussion before the interviews about postponing them since half the assembly was absent, but those in attendance decided to go ahead since the interviews are meant to be preliminary. The interviews lasted about 30 minutes, and each candidate was asked the same series of questions. Jim Pascal was the first one interviewed. He retired last year from a 30-year career as city administrator in Princeton, New Jersey. He was a finalist for the Sitka City Administrator job in August. He said during the interview Tuesday he was interested in the job in Haynes to do something different in a new place. He highlighted his experience, how he worked with staff and other officials, and some accomplishments during his career. The assembly and mayor discussed each interview for a few moments directly after. They said Pascal seems easygoing and obviously knows municipal government operations. But they also worried about culture shock and whether the same issues Pascal dealt with in Princeton were similar to any of the issues the borough addresses in Haynes. The next interview was with David Sosa, who is retiring from a career in the Marine Corps this spring. He has a master's of public administration and wants to get into public administration after the military. He visited Haynes over the summer, and with retirement from active duty on the horizon and the manager position open, he applied. He was very thorough in his answers. He said he read the borough's comprehensive plan and asked questions about it. Most of his answers drew on his experience from military deployments in the Middle East and his leadership and communication skills. The assembly and mayor were impressed with Sosa, although again concerned whether the transition to Haynes, especially while also transitioning from a military to civilian career, would be a good fit. However, he talked about understanding community development and conflict, and that resonated with the assembly members and mayor. Carlo Pilgrim was the next candidate. He last worked as city administrator in Holbrook, Arizona, but left that job in 2009 because, he said, of his dealings with two council members that became unbearable. He also worked as town manager in Newport, Maine. He was interviewed previously for the manager position in Skagway. Pilgrim talked about his experience in working with elected bodies and city officials. Some assembly members thought Pilgrim was an optimistic, confident candidate. Others said they didn't feel he answered the questions very specifically or thoroughly. Two of the members said they will recommend not keeping Pilgrim as a candidate for the job. The final candidate interview was with Susan Jensen from Anchorage. She is a general manager of a homeowners association in Anchorage and also elected board member of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. She will receive her master's in public administration in December, but like Sosa, she does not have any municipal experience. Jensen said she is interested in living in rural coastal Alaska and transitioning her skills and education into a local government position. She spoke about the importance of communication and building relationships. She didn't give lengthy answers and finished her interview faster than the others, but the assembly members said her resume and experience still seem relevant to the position and they were hesitant to rule her out. Staff members Gila Stewart, who is acting manager right now, and executive assistant Darcy Kolbeck also sat in on the interviews and gave feedback to the assembly. Borough staff have emphasized on several occasions to the assembly that they hope the group takes its time choosing a new manager. The assembly members and mayor seemed to feel most confident about Sosa at the end of the interviews, although they were still interested in Pascal and Jensen. The interviews were recorded so the absent members could listen to the recordings. The assembly is expected to meet in a committee of the whole to discuss how to proceed, about whether to bring any of the four candidates in for a personal interview or keep recruiting for the position. Interim Haynes Police Chief Simon Ford said he was pleased with the response to the first drug roundup in Haynes over the weekend that collected 34 pounds of unwanted, unused, and expired prescription medications from residents. The program to collect the medication is run by the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency, which pays for publicizing the event and coordinates disposal of the medications. Ford says the DEA instructs local law enforcement to leave the pills unsorted when collected, But Ford said he did recognize some of the medications just by sight and knows that some of them have a street value. So it was good to know they won't be sold illegally on the street and abused, he said. The police department will ship the pills to the DEA, which destroys them using an incinerator. That prevents them from going into the water supply or landfill. Prescription medications are considered harmful to the water supply and wildlife when disposed of in traditional ways, which is one reason the federal agency began coordinating the roundup about 7 years ago. The effort is also a way to curb overdose and abuse of unused prescription medications. During the last national drug roundup, 371 tons of medications were collected. Ford said he does plan on hosting the roundup again, although a specific date hasn't been set. Skagway police also host periodic drug roundups through the same DEA program. Last week's Alaska Federation of Natives Convention featured speeches from all three members of Alaska's congressional delegation. Senator Mark Begich used his time to talk about a number of issues, including supporting tribal courts and making fixes to the new health care law. KDLG's Mike Mason listened in and filed this report.
Mark Begich is the junior member of the Alaska Congressional Delegation, but he's been positioning himself to become a powerful member of the Senate. He's a member of the majority leadership through his position as the chair of the Steering and Outreach Committee. Begich is a member of the powerful Senate Appropriations Committee, and he's also a member of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee. During Friday's AFN convention speech, Begich confirmed that he sought out those committee assignments because of their importance to Alaska. He then got to the heart of the matter and spoke about the apparent dysfunction in Congress.
The automatic budget cuts hurt Alaskans, and the recent government shutdown was felt across the state, especially by Alaskan Native people and their families and tribes.
Before becoming a senator, Mark Begich was the mayor of Anchorage, and during Friday's speech, he stressed the importance of supporting public safety in the state's largest cities down to the small villages spread out across the state.
As a former mayor, there is no question in my mind, the best way to deal with public safety is local solutions. Just as we saw here with young people, but local solutions are the name of the game. That's why I've introduced the Alaska Safe Families and Village Acts, which promotes and provides opportunities for Alaska Native tribes to use their tools to dispense justice in their communities.
The Alaska Safe Families and Villages Act seeks to give tribal governments more latitude to protect public safety in their villages. Specifically, it would allow tribes to issue and enforce domestic violence protective orders against both tribal and non-tribal members. The new version of the Act seeks to correct what many characterize as a flaw in the recently reauthorized Violence Against Women Act that specifically prohibited Alaska tribes from issuing and enforcing domestic violence protective orders against non-tribal members. Where Senator Begich differs with the other two members of the Alaska delegation is in regards to the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as it's more commonly referred to. Begich supports the law, while Senator Murkowski and Congressman Don Young both want the law repealed.
The new law is delivering benefits for Alaska Natives and Native Americans across this country. But let me make sure you know one thing that's important. When you hear people that say we need to get rid of that law, what's embedded in that law? A small piece of legislation, I say this sarcastically, that I was able to work with a couple of my colleagues to push into that legislation. And that was the permanent reauthorization of the Indian Health Care Act permanently is in that law. So when people ask me why I voted for that law, well, that's one big reason, let me tell you.
At the heart of the Affordable Care Act is something called the individual mandate. Basically, that means that a person must purchase or prove they have health insurance in order to avoid a tax penalty. The vast majority of Alaska Native people are exempt from the individual mandate. However, Begich says some Alaska Native people won't qualify for the exemption because of a definition included in the law.
There is one glitch that I have brought forward a solution to that Senator Baucus and Senator Udall and Senator Schatz and Franken have joined me as co-sponsors, and that is the definition in there of what Indian means, because there are multiple definitions, which means if we don't fix this definition, some of our people will be denied or charged fines. And we cannot afford that. We will not let that happen. So we are working to fix this definition, what will be important for us here in Alaska, but to be very frank with you, for First People all across this country. So we're anxiously working to fix that.
Alaska Native and American Indian people are exempt from the requirement to purchase insurance if they can show evidence of enrollment in a federally recognized tribe, hold Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act shareholder status, or are eligible to receive services from an Indian Health Service facility or tribal health care provider. The issue is that there are an estimated 14,000 Alaska Native people that are not enrolled in an Alaska Native corporation or tribal government. They've apparently historically been able to receive IHS benefits, but since there are several different definitions of Indian in the bill, it's possible those 14,000 people would be subject to the tax penalties included in the bill if the definition is not fixed. Senator Mark Begich is in his fifth year as a U.S. senator. He took the seat held for many years by the late Ted Stevens. Begich is a Democrat and is up for re-election next year. Many observers anticipate a very tough campaign as the Republican Party has its eyes on replacing Begich, while at the same time the Democrats try to protect their majority in the Senate. Senator Begich was among those invited to speak at last week's annual Alaska Federation of Natives convention that was held in Fairbanks. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Mike Mason for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.